Good afternoon, and welcome to Open Air with Chair Huber on World Talk Radio. I'm your host, Michael Gray. In today's show, we'll be talking about conscious, compassionate awareness, responding to your email questions, and taking your calls. So keep it tuned here to Open Air with Chair Huber. Welcome to Open Air with Sherry Huber. I'm your host, Michael Gray. Good afternoon, Sherry.
Good afternoon, Michael.
How are you?
Well, fine. I have a little cold.
You got a little cold.
Yep, so I've been singing more today.
You've been singing more today.
Yeah, because I like this deep voice.
Uh-huh.
I've been enjoying it.
A little baritone.
A little baritone. That's right, a little... Is it whiskey tenor? Is that what they...
I haven't heard that term.
Yeah, I think that might be what it's been called.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. So, but aside from that, life is good.
Wonderful. Wonderful. Glad to have you on the air.
Thank you. I wasn't there last week.
No, and you are here now.
But we're here now.
Yeah.
That's very good. I actually left the country and neglected to mention it. although we had been mentioning it, but I just completely slipped my mind. And there I was in Mexico, and someone said, so what do they do like on an occasion like this when you're out of the country during the radio show? And it was one of those moments. I said, today's Tuesday, huh?
Today.
Well, I don't know. Michael has covered it handily.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. And I'm excited because we have two callers already waiting to talk with us.
I'm excited my own self.
All right. I'd like to welcome Lisa from Kansas City. You're on Open Air with Sherry Huber.
Thanks for having me.
Great.
Hello there.
Hi.
Hi there.
Well, I have been looking at a process, and I would love some feedback on it. How to describe it? I find that I'm doing one thing in the moment. I'm in wherever I am. And without getting pulled into the content of it, I find that there's a part of me that wants to be somewhere else.
Uh-huh. Now, is this, without getting into the content, is this a regular kind of thing? In other words, does it happen regardless of the moment you're in and the... It's that I just want to be somewhere else, or is it more specific than that?
Wow. Well, what I'm noticing now is whoever this person is very emotional, and tears come, and there's this missing of this other place. I'm a little bit, there's another part of me that's really surprised by this. I wasn't expecting this response.
Uh-huh. Surprised that there's that much emotion with it.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
So it's a literal. I'm here, and there's a part of me who doesn't want to be in this physical here, but wants to be somewhere else, literally, in another specific place.
Yep.
Uh-huh. So is that the kind of thing that is referred to as homesickness?
Well, it's funny because conditioning comes in and goes, well, no matter. No wonder you're suffering. You are here and you're trying to be somewhere else, which isn't helpful at all.
Well, there's trying to be somewhere else, and then there's wanting to be somewhere else.
Right.
Right?
I think that's the... It's that wanting piece and that... I think what I'm noticing is as I continue to encourage myself to be here where I am, sorry, it seems like there's more and more clarity around the wanting to be somewhere else.
Uh-huh. So Is there someone who wants to be where you are?
You know, there are less and less people. It's funny there. I keep looking for that person who wants to be where I am, and I'm not. I'm seeing less of those people.
Uh-huh.
I mean, conditioning comes in and says, well, just you wait. You decide to be somewhere else, and there'll be a lot of people who want to be where you are.
Uh-huh. So at this point, you can't really tell whether what's going on. I mean,
no.
It could be that you go to this other place where there's a feeling that you want to be, and then the information is, no, I don't want to be here either. So it could be a process kind of thing, just I don't want to be wherever it is that I am. I'm looking at someplace else that would be a better place to be. Or
right.
It could be a legitimate, I thought I wanted to be here, and what I've realized is I really want to be in this other place.
Right. And there was another piece that I was looking at that I've forgotten. Oh, it's a piece about someone comes in and says, well, you haven't committed to where you are, and you're not trying to make where you are a place where you would like to be. And so no wonder this isn't a very nice place. And so then the duality is this, well, I don't want to, someone comes in and says, I don't want to do all of these things that would commit me to this place. Because there's another part of me that's really unsure about whether she's committed to this place. And then I get beaten up for, look at what you're doing.
Well, you know, I can cut through one part of this immediately. And that is, listening to those voices has got to stop.
Yeah.
Because nothing is, there's never going to be any kind of clarity. Listening to voices just jerk you back and forth on an issue.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, always job one is to get to center. Then there really isn't a job two, because once we get to center, everything else just kind of falls into place.
Right.
From a centered place, you know whether or not you want to give this new place or this place where you are now X amount of time and just see how it goes. And so you make the investment there and you do all of the things that you want to do. Or if it's just I'm as clear as I can be right now. This is not where I want to be. But it has to come from as close to a centered place as we can get, because otherwise it's just whatever you decide, a voice is going to come in and tell you what's wrong with that and what's wrong with you as a result of that.
Mm-hmm, definitely.
And it's not, it doesn't have anything to do with the place. It has to do with being in relationship with conditioned voices that find some sort of excuse to beat you up and tell you what you're doing is wrong.
Yeah. And I think I'm seeing that, and I'm seeing how much I suffer.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's a suffering place.
Yeah, and just...
Yeah, and it's over... the suffering place isn't where you are currently, and the other place is not the non-suffering place.
No.
Yeah, being in that relationship with those voices is suffering. And if they weren't doing it to you over that particular content, it could be relationship, it could be work, it could be finances, it could
mm-hmm.
be health, it could be any of the things that conditioning gets you on two sides of.
Mm-hmm.
Right, sets up a duality about, and then starts beating you up on either side of that. You should do this. No, you shouldn't do that. Well, if you would only do this. Well, if you would just be happy where you are. Well, yeah, but if it...
Right.
Why don't you see how you are? And so the content of it changes, but the process of it is exactly the same, and the process is suffering.
It sure is.
Yeah, so as long as we allow ourselves to be put in that kind of place, we will suffer, which is not the same. You know, people, when I say something like that, people hear it as so that means you should stay where you are and just learn to be happy there.
Right.
That is not the point. The point is to live from center where it actually doesn't matter where you are. And it doesn't matter where you are doesn't mean so you might as well stay where you are. It means you're free to be wherever you want to be. It's free. You're free to decide whatever you want to decide. Do whatever it is that you decide to do. And the conditioned voices, the self-hating voices, don't get to beat you up over it.
I'm glad you mentioned that because that's a trap that sometimes I buy into.
Oh.
Which is that piece of conditioning comes in and says, it shouldn't matter where you are, so that means you have to blah.
That's right. It shouldn't matter where you are, so go wherever you want to go. Be wherever you want to be. You know, it is so easy for us as human beings. There's just a mechanism in us that keeps us from realizing that, as a Catholic sister friend of mine says, this is your one and only life. Now, from a Buddhist perspective, of course, it's not the only life that happens.
Right.
But it's the only one you're going to have.
Right.
Yeah? Because if consciousness goes on and karma goes on and blah, 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 this person that I'm talking to right now is not going to be a part of that. Intelligence, this awareness, this sensitivity, this orientation, this karma, this package is only going to be here once.
Mm-hmm.
And we waste this once trying to get it right.
Yeah.
There's no right. There's just living.
And it seems like that, somehow that homesickness part, or that I've heard you talk about the fun part. Like, I could just do the thing that seems nice and fun, and I'm drawn to it. And and just let it's funny because I'm trying to keep looking at it. It's that where I am seems less and less fun, and something happens around this dialogue around, well, is it what you're doing that's not fun, or does it not matter?
But once again, it's drawing you into this analytical conversation with the voices of condition.
Right.
So my encouragement is going to be to turn your attention to that analytical conversation with conditioning, not because it's going to lead anywhere, but to begin to recognize it as the source of the suffering.
So paying attention to it, not to solve it.
That's right.
To start to see it.
Just to see it. Because I can promise you that when that conversation is going on, you're not going to be having fun anywhere. That's what people do instead of living.
Yeah.
Instead of being present and enjoying life and enjoying themselves and participating and contributing and all of those kinds of things. When people aren't living that contributing, participating in life, it's because they're in an analytical conversation with conditioning about how they should be.
Well, and there's an experience there that I've had, and I'm not sure how much of it is just belief, that my experience is that in some places I have a lot more support to live.
Uh-huh.
And that in other places I don't. And I'm developing my capacity and my mastery, but I'm still just really a beginner. And so when I don't have a lot of that support, I'm really good at getting sucked in.
Yes. Yes. And, you know, I use all kinds of little pictures for people to look at this, and it could be anything. If it's art, if it's sports, if it's finances, if it's family life, if it's community, if it's spirituality, if it's awareness. If you want to devote your life to something in particular, it behooves you to put yourself in a position where what you want to be supported is supported.
Yeah.
But conditioning, with its desire for contests that we lose, wants to convince us that what we need to do, so I'm interested in finances, and so I should get a low-paying job and manage to just scrape by and feed myself.
Right. I have all this debt, so why don't I take the lowest-paying job possible?
That's right. And then struggle along trying to figure out finances from that perspective.
And what are the tears? Who? I get really curious about, who is this?
That's another trip into the analytical conversation with
you. At least it's consistent. How you do everything is how you do everything.
Right. Yeah.
Oh, look, there it is again.
Pardon me?
Oh, look, there it is again.
Oh, look, there it is again. Yeah. Uh-huh. And so it would probably be a wonderful time to do some process mapping.
Yeah.
Yeah, some charting out the personalities who are involved. Any of the kinds of techniques that give you distance, get you out of the conversation and simply observing the conversation.
Thank you for that recommendation. I'm going to go home right now and have some fun with that.
Good. Excellent. Thank you.
Thank you so much, both of you, Michael and Sherry.
All right. Good night.
Bye.
Thanks for joining us, Lisa. You're listening to with Sherry Huber on World Talk Radio. It's great to be here today, and we are at the end of our first segment. So keep it tuned here, and we'll be back with Open Air with Sherry Huber in just a few minutes. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber on World Talk Radio. I'm your host, Michael Gray. Coming up next on Open Air, we'll be continuing our conversation on conscious compassion and awareness. So keep it tuned here, and we'll be right back with you. Welcome back. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber on World Talk Radio. I'm your host, Michael Gray. Sherry, that last call was fascinating.
Yeah. Boy, it's amazing how slippery conditioning is.
Yes.
And, you know, what she was looking at and pointing at is a difficulty for all of us who are attempting to be more aware. How do you separate paying attention and being aware from getting into that analytical conversation?
Uh-huh.
How do you just observe and notice and see what's going on and not get pulled into trying to figure it out, listening to what the voices say, their assessment, you know, trying to perform in a way that will meet the standards of conditioning? That it's a very fine line.
Yes, yes. Getting a sense for what's coming from center and what's coming from conditioning.
Mm-hmm. It's very tricky.
Yes. Subtle.
Yes, very subtle.
Yes. Sherry, we have another caller on the line.
All right.
I'd like to welcome Renee from Athens, Georgia. You're on Open Air with Sherry Huber.
Hi, Sherry and Michael. Thanks for having me.
Hi.
You're very welcome. Good evening.
Good evening. Sherry, I want to also thank you for coming through Georgia recently because we really enjoyed having you.
Good. I enjoyed being there. Athens, Georgia is one of my favorite places in the world.
Great. Well, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
So I can relate a lot to the previous caller and to most people, I guess, because I am suffering. And I'm suffering a bit like the previous caller about not being terribly happy with where I am in my life. And I think in some ways that comes with turning 30, which I'll be doing soon. It seems to be a hard age for people. But I guess my...
Not because you're getting old.
Well, not...
Because, Renee, if I could buy that birthday from you and have...
You know, I was always kind of warm to the idea of getting old, and then for some reason, just this year, I started becoming a little bit anxious about it. And anxiety is actually one of the reasons I'm calling. A few years back, I had an episode where I had a panic attack. Didn't know what it was, and it went on for days, and I went to the hospital and said, look, you know, I haven't slept for 3 days, and you know, I'm really hurting here. What's going on? And they said, well, I believe you're having a panic attack. And I was feeling suicidal for the first time in my life because I had been scared and not slept for 3 days.
Mm-hmm.
So they admitted me, and so I continually beat myself up about how I've been in the hospital overnight in the mental ward. that's an unfriendly name for it. I don't really know what you call it, but...
Well, I think it is probably something like a psych ward. So.
Psych ward, yeah.
And I always figured, having spent a little time there on my own self, it was probably short for psycho, not psych.
And perhaps that's the case.
Yeah.
Well, thank you for being open about that, Sherry, because it's a difficult thing for me to deal with. But basically, the reason I'm calling is because I went on medication for a while. I was on Zoloft, and I took it for about a year and a half, and then I felt okay to come off of it, and that was in May. So I've been off for not quite a year yet. And I have felt pretty good through that time, but recently I've had a couple of ups and downs, situational things in life that have really been difficult for me to deal with. And after those occurrences, here comes the anxiety and the depressive thoughts again. And it's this vicious cycle of feeling anxious and then feeling anxious about feeling anxious and then feeling depressed about the fact that I was anxious.
Mm-hmm.
Anxious
about the depression.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, anxious about the depression. And anxious, you know, am I going to, you know, have an anxiety attack? Am I going to end up in the corner mumbling and rocking and just, you know, kind of go crazy? Is this anxiety going to drive me crazy?
Mm-hmm.
And so I guess you can kind of tell that mine is pretty much eating me up.
And now let me ask you this. Right now, is there anything going on?
Right in this very moment?
Yeah.
In my mind, right in the moment, I'm very happy to be talking about this to someone and to be kind of getting it out. And I'm not terribly anxious right now.
Yeah. Which is just a critical awareness to have. Because to me, you're right. The parallels with the previous caller are dramatic.
Uh-huh.
There's nothing going on with you right now.
Right.
And if we weren't in this conversation, those voices would be just like, what, termites or...
Yes, they would.
Yeah, that's eating away, eating away, eating away. And, of course, you feel anxious. They're making you anxious.
Yep.
And of course, you feel depressed because you get to the point of being willing to do anything in order to have a little relief
right
on what they're doing to you. One of the things, this is kind of an aside, but it's always so interesting to me, if you fell down and broke your wrist and you spent the night in the emergency room getting that fixed, there would be no embarrassment about it.
You're right.
But because you have this experience going on in your body that you have no ability to relate to, and it's interesting also to me that at the way we approach it as a society, the separation between mind and body, anything with the body is basically okay, even if it's something that that is absolutely your fault. You know, in the sense that you've just been completely negligent, there's still no shame with anything that goes on with the body. Is that correct?
You're right, and I wonder over that a lot, about why there is such a stigma attached to having, you know, any kind of emotional or mental issues, but there is, and I allow those voices to beat me up over it, you're a depressed person. And
that's right. And I think that that's exactly why. If there were the same stigma about physical stuff and people had to sneak around to go to the doctor, you know, you went into your GP and you go in one door and leave by another so that nobody sees that you're going to the doctor, what would the state of our health be like?
You know, that's a very good point.
It'd be pretty pathetic.
Yeah.
And that's the state of our mental health.
Yeah.
Because everybody is trying to pretend that this stuff isn't going on with them. And I think it's not accidental. I think conditioned mind has it set up this way so that we don't have very much of a chance of getting out of our relationship with it.
Okay.
So, you know, I will talk about society as ego-driven. Society as a whole is an egocentric entity.
Mm-hmm.
Can you get a sense of that?
Yes.
Yeah, it's self-serving and self-centered. It's devoted to distraction. It's superficial. And it really steers away from, and I'm kind of speaking specifically about our society at this point, because there are a lot of societies that value deep, intelligent conversation, who value people getting together to talk sensibly about big issues that are shared and of concern. And as a society, we don't have a lot of interest in that.
Now, that's true. And to bring the conversation back around, there are societies that also value you know, people who are aging.
Oh, exactly.
You know, the elderly, and maybe even, you know, respect them more and revere them. I feel like we have a little bit of trouble with that, which is, you know, probably why people have a hard time dealing with getting older in our society.
Absolutely, and especially, let's face it, if you're female.
Right.
If you're male, and you're having your 30th birthday, people are just getting on the edge of starting to take you seriously.
Sure.
If you're a female, people are starting to look at you like, a little long in the tooth there.
Right.
Yeah. You've got maybe another 6-7 years after that. No.
No.
Yeah.
She's out. Right.
Yeah, she's out of the running.
Yeah.
So when we look at how our society conditions us to approach ourselves, what's happening is that conditioned mind maintains a tremendous amount of power and control over our lives because it makes us afraid to be honest about what's going on with us.
Yeah.
Yeah?
It does make me afraid, I'll tell you that.
Yes. And now, you know about the There's Nothing Wrong With You retreat?
I know about the retreat, and I've been hoping to save the money to come, actually. I've started saving the money to come.
Very good. I think that would be an excellent thing to do.
As soon as I heard about it, I thought that it probably was a great idea for me to do. And I also saw your book called The Depression Book.
Yes.
And at first the cover scared me, and I thought, I can't have that around because it's a black cover and it says The Depression Book, and that's admitting that I have a relationship or have depression or a relationship with depressive moods. And I thought, get over it. And I thought, you know, having met Sherry, that's probably the reason the book looks like that, because you got to call it like it is.
That's right. That's exactly right.
You have to admit it.
And if you had a child who had a physical condition, whatever that physical condition was, you would certainly have books around the house on that subject.
True.
Because you would not feel good about expressing shame about this child, or trying to hide the child or the child's condition, or you would be, I think, probably very inspired about getting it out there, letting people know, bringing this child into a normal life. And so the same with this part of you who feels depressed and the part of you who feels anxious.
Now, Sherry, how much of this work can I do on my own, and when do I need to know that it's time that maybe I need help in terms of medication? Because this is something I battle with. I think, well, you know, I'm feeling really depressed right now, which I don't if I'm distracted by friends and things like that, which is an interesting thing to note and might help you think about this. If I'm around people and we're cooking or doing whatever, right, I feel pretty darn good, you know, because I'm not distracted by these thoughts that I'm depressed. And I may occasionally get anxious because a voice will sneak in and say, wait a minute, you know, what are you doing here? And kind of just make me anxious all of a sudden.
Right.
And
so as soon as one of those conversations start, you feel the reactive feeling.
Right.
Yeah. So here's my take on it. If for somebody like you, I would wish that you would use medications very judiciously.
Okay.
And that's not to say not to use them.
Right.
But to be willing, as it sounds like you have been in the past, to take responsibility for your use of the medications.
Yeah.
Because there are an awful lot of people who just have an attitude of, give me the pills, I don't care. I don't want to know about this. I don't want to think about it. I just don't want to feel the way I'm feeling.
Right. No, I do not have that attitude. I very much do not want to go back on.
That's right. And yet, sometimes there are occasions where we have to avail ourselves of every possible support that we can use.
Okay.
So, given what you know, I'm hoping that you will take advantage of everything that you can get close to that's going to support you.
Okay.
You know, get around other people with whom you can speak honestly.
Right.
So, yeah, I know there's a sitting group in Athens, Georgia, there are other people who are trying to bring conscious compassion and awareness to their lives. So seek those people out. Start spending time with them. Find other groups of people who, you know, maybe struggle with the same kinds of issues. Maybe you want to spend time in those groups. Maybe you don't. Maybe it feels like sometimes people gather together to support one another in a condition rather than to see ways to move through a limitation.
Indeed.
Yeah.
Right.
So exercise. Do you exercise?
Oh, yes. I do yoga. I take 2 yoga classes a week, and you know the instructors.
Oh, very, very, very good. You're in the group.
Yeah.
And so you might add something like walking or jogging or something that moves the energy around on a daily basis. You know, spend as much as an hour if you can each day in some kind of as strenuous physical activity as you can manage.
Okay.
And now you're just going at it. Okay, you're bringing all of the conscious awareness that you can. You know that anxiety and depression are twins.
Yes,
you know
they are.
They're two manifestations of the same set of sensations, really.
Yeah.
And so this is the focus of your life. How can you come to a place of peaceful, joyful, compassionate, kind understanding for the person who experiences these conditions, bring her into your life, take care of her, help her, and just, you know, give her a place at the table.
Yeah, that's a great way of putting it. And I like to think about it that way, to think about being compassionate to the person, you know, that I am, that is suffering.
Yeah, you have a sister, and you have 2 sisters. One is anxious and one is depressed.
Yeah.
And you're not just going to cut them loose and say, okay, well, I'm going on. You're going to find a way that all of you can be in relationship. The depressed part is not going to drag you down in such a way that you have no life. The anxious part is not going to make you so fearful that you can't move ahead in your life.
Yeah.
And there'll be conscious support and caring for each person in this little triad.
Yeah.
And then you'll let us know.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you'll contact the monastery and start finding out about getting to a There's Nothing Wrong With You retreat.
In fact, I will.
Yeah, very good.
I absolutely will. Thank you very much, Sherry.
All right, thank you. Good night.
Thank you, Michael. Good night.
Thank you for Renette. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber on World Talk Radio. I'm your host, Michael Gray, and we are once again at the end of segment two, and we'll be back with you again in just a couple minutes, so keep it tuned here. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber on World Talk Radio. I'm your host, Michael Gray. Coming up next on Open Air, we'll be continuing our conversation on conscious compassion awareness in our third and final segment of today's show. So keep it tuned here on World Talk Radio. Back. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber on World Talk Radio. I'm your host, Michael Gray. And Sherry, I was noticing a common theme in these first two calls today.
Yes.
Voices driving us crazy.
Voices driving us crazy, right.
Huh?
Voices driving us crazy while they're telling us that they are the solution.
Yeah.
Making up problems.
Uh-huh.
And demanding that we give all of our attention to those problems.
Uh-huh.
Beating us up then for having those problems.
Yes.
Telling us that they can fix the problems.
Yes.
And then pointing us in directions that maintain the problem, and then beating us up once again for not having solved the problem. It's not good.
Uh-huh. It is, however, a full employment situation for conditioning.
Yes. What is that? Job security? Is that
job security?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yeah, that's a really good point. It works very well for conditioning.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, for the voices of self-hatred.
Wonderful. Sherry, we have another caller who'd like to talk with us today.
Good.
I'd like to welcome Barb from Pittsburgh. You're on Open Air with Sherry Huber.
Hi, Sherry. Hi, Michael.
Hi.
Thank you both for being here. I want to actually say to people out there, you must allow yourself the chance to call in. It's a good experience.
It's not as scary as it seems it's going to be, is it?
Well, I guess not, but it gives you a lot to think about while you're on the queue there.
Uh-huh. Hey, while you're on hold, can you listen to what we're doing?
Yes, it's wonderfully clear, and it was
good.
Great. Yeah, yeah. I'm calling in to report on a few things from the last time I called.
Wonderful.
One is I called in about having drowsiness problems while sitting.
Yes.
And I knew the response. I knew what you were going to say, and it was one of those things like just hearing it just sort of clicks in.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I was thinking how before that I really was trying to do something to stop that tiredness from coming and finding that I have the power to control this. And then I found out that night after talking to you, it was one of the nights I felt really, really fatigued and tired, and on any other occasion I might have said, I'm too tired to sit. And I sat, and it was full of energy. I was not drowsy. And I never got the drowsiness since, so I've never had a chance to actually sleep through sitting.
Oh, for heavens.
So isn't that sneaky?
That's when you were so prepared.
Yeah.
Well, you know, that's critical.
Yeah, I think it's really interesting how, you know, it was so clear that night. I thought, you know, here I thought I was in control.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, and it's just amazing that you think something like that, what it can do for you, you know, you can...
Yes, and with the previous caller, what you're saying is so helpful in dealing with something and approaching something like anxiety or depression, because it's that same process. I'm trying to avoid it, to push it away, to figure out how to get around this so that I can be a person who has that in my past. And the real secret is to welcome it in every day.
That's relating into something else I want to talk about. And in fact, I noticed it while waiting on the phone here. I noticed the other day I grocery shop once a week and shop for two people, and it's kind of a big job.
Mm-hmm.
And as I you go through the self-checkout, and I can pack, and I pack myself and do all this, and I find I always get very hot, and I start to get very anxious feeling. And this last time, I really noticed it, because since the drowsiness of the sitting and so much, I've been putting my attention on the breath and throughout the day check in to see how I'm breathing, where I'm breathing, and what's happening. And I kept checking in during all this operation at the grocery store there, and I felt such tension in my stomach that the breathing was just not even there. And I would come in and do a couple of breaths and have to continue back, you know, and go back. But I kept finding myself in really tremendous physical sensations of tension. And I was just thinking about that while sitting here on the phone. And I have the same exact sensations happening. And I'm taking deep breaths. And the subtleness behind this is that I'm trying to breathe those sensations away, get rid of them.
Uh-huh.
And I thought, okay, I think I'm sort of seeing this. What if I just really felt these for the first time instead of trying to get rid of them?
Yes, what a notion.
And so I started watching it, and I thought, wow, it's really kind of, I go through these moments of, ooh, that's really sparkly and, you know, tingly and whatnot. And then I'd feel that resistance come back in, like, oh, I got to get rid of them, it's horrible. And it's interesting that if you really can take that moment to step across the line and just look at it, how different it is from the avoiding side of it.
Yes, so again, it's a conversation that has caused you to assume what you were assuming about this.
Yeah.
Right? So there's a voice saying, oh, I've got to get rid of these feelings. This feels horrible. And then what you've discovered is that when you stop and actually feel the sensations, it doesn't feel horrible at all.
Right. Right.
In fact, it can feel tingly or... sounds like kind of pleasant.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's so strong. It's a conditioning of what, you know, that is a horrible avoiding thing.
Yeah.
That it really takes quite an effort to come back to it.
Yeah, and the trying to avoid it is horrible, isn't it?
Yeah, that's the horrible part.
Mm-hmm.
That's the impossible part.
Yes. Yeah. Because I'm trying to avoid something that's already there.
Yeah. Yeah.
Isn't that astounding?
Yeah, yeah.
It's one of those things that we talk about, but, you know, it is so counter to every bit of what we've been taught to believe.
Yeah.
And it takes a long time, actually, to get to the place of being able to take that information in as a possibility.
Yeah.
And even longer to get to the place of being willing to make that really, it's quite a simple little step, isn't it, to being present to it rather than trying to get rid of it.
Yeah, and I can see how some little things, I was thinking how a lot of things I've taken in from previous Zen experiences that I've taken on as beliefs, like not falling asleep while sitting and breathe deeply through sensations, and I took that as meaning get yourself out of the sensations, you know?
Yes.
So it's interesting that all this piles up and becomes this whole massive resistance.
Yes, that in subtle ways, time after time after time, conditioning just kind of begins to morph information. Until by the time it gets through with us, it's turned something like Zen awareness practice into a support system for its...
Yeah, yeah.
You should do this, and you should be this way, and you need to do this. And if you're not doing that, then it means this, and has nothing to do with Zen, does it? But
the
process is so slow and so subtle
mm-hmm.
that it takes us a while to catch on to it.
Yeah. Something else I've been looking with, I guess the personality that's actually deep inside would say it's a difficult situation I live with. A mother-in-law who's been really very harsh in the past now has Alzheimer's, so I help take care of her. And so there's a part who's able to do that, but there's also a part that shows up who's very afraid of her. Mm. And the other day, I'm trying to be as alert to this as possible and watch what happens. The other day I was at the sink, and I usually don't work at the sink with her because she tends to flare up at the simplest little thing. And it's one of my things. I don't do well with angry people. So I tend to avoid that. But there I was, and there she is standing next to me, and I thought, okay, here we are. So I just would continue on what I was doing, drying off dishes, and she was cleaning out something that I had still not finished in the sink. And I said, I'll take the things out of the rack here. And I'm busy, in a way, helping out. And something happened where she dropped the pan in the sink, took the sponge and the soap, threw them, and stomped away. And I felt that moment, it was like a door opening to suck me in. And I just very subtly, I don't think it was even a voice I heard, but it was like a knowing that I was responsible. I did something to cause her to be upset. I saw that as a possibility, but I didn't go that way.
Yeah.
And I realized it was just so instantaneous, and now it's like, gee, what is it I really saw? But it was like I'm not responsible for her anger.
Right, and what I'm projecting you saw in that moment, because you were very present, was the conditioning that has held that orientation to life in place.
Yeah.
And that, of course, as I'm sure you know, is why we do meditation. It's why we do awareness practice. Because once you see that, you don't have to be in the same relationship with her emotions that you have been in before.
Yeah, it seems like a little bit has changed, but it seems like I'm going to probably go through this many times again.
Well, it's interesting. Now, I would say conditioning would like you to believe that.
Yeah.
It's pretty invested in you believing that.
Yes, and yes, absolutely.
Certainly you'll see that knee-jerk response come up, and you'll begin to see how many manifestations it has in your daily life.
Yeah.
But you have seen through that little connector.
And you know what's interesting is that lately I have pretty much identified with that, at least the one personality, a very small person who's very afraid and feels kind of uncomfortable most of the time in this particular situation. And it was really, I was just kind of listening to that for a couple of weeks now, and even hearing things saying like, oh, I really hate her. And knowing that this is what I'm hearing, that I don't really hate her. But
that's right.
Some part of me really doesn't feel comfortable here.
You have distance on that conditioning.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's that really strong urge to go to the what do I do about this?
That's right.
And then, you know, you just continue on and something like that happens where you see there's the thing that's happening, and of course you'd feel uncomfortable if you're responsible for someone's anger.
That's right. And what you know to do, I hear the music is ushering us out here.
Yes.
And what you know really works is simply watching, just paying attention.
Yes, you can't really let anything go by.
Yeah, that's very exciting.
Yes, it was.
Yeah,
it will be. I know there's lots of opportunities.
All right.
All right, well, thank you very much.
Thank you. Good night.
Good night.
Thank you so much for joining us, Barb. Sherry, we're on our show here.
I know, so enjoyable to be with people in this way.
Yes.
And I'm extremely grateful for the opportunity.
Wonderful. And I'm grateful to have you here.
Yeah, me too.
Let's do it again next week.
All right.
All right. Thank you so much for joining us, and we'll talk to you all again next week.
Thanks, Mark.